Thomas Paine Podcast, Paint of the Morning, 7:16. As the month ticks on, we're still here. We're surviving. Coming off a late Wednesday podcast, the big Wednesday podcast, Thomas Paine Podcast, episode 32. We dropped that late Wednesday night. You want to check that out. That's got some disturbing stuff. Also some good stuff. Some good banter with two interviews. Are celebrating our 100th episode. Can you believe it? I can't. That was fast. Race to 100 was pretty quick. Well, we started out going every week, and then folks said, no, you got to go every day, man. So that tends to accelerate things. So we journey on to number 200, and our journey to 200. And two great interviews in that interview in that podcast we dropped. And now we move on to Pain in the Morning, with your normal dose of mayhem and news. Some things that broke right before we went on the air. Walmart, not going to be able to go into any Walmart without a mask. Sounds good to me. I don't go into Walmart. If on occasion I need something from Walmart, maybe go with their curbside pickup. I don't want to go in there. That's probably where the virus started. That's a joke. Everybody calm down. But, you know where I stand on masks. I think it's ridiculous. And Brad Parscale just got dumped as the head of Trump's campaign. This is how he's feeling. I tweeted to him, hey, maybe next time don't put Trump in a mask, medical mask, so the mainstream media has a feeding frenzy and you make your voting base look like flaming morons. Maybe don't do that next time, and maybe keep your job. He's still with the campaign, but he's been downgraded, demoted. No other way to put it. And with Trump's numbers, it probably should have happened a couple weeks ago. Definite concern on part of the campaign. Less than 120 days. What are we, 110 days out from the election? So Trump's trying to get a little spark going. He's done well by distancing himself from that moron and that criminal Fauci. But you wonder, that should have happened months ago as well. So can't have everything the way you want it. So some positive steps. We'll see how they play out. This guy's still singing. There's a lot of anger, these guys. Township Rebellion. If this is your wedding song that you danced with your wife, now the bride and groom will come out on the floor for their first dance. Oh, yeah, everybody gather around. Oh, yeah. like to introduce Mr. and Mrs. Smith. What the hell? What? Whoa. A little Township Rebellion at the wedding song. Tell your kids that. This is our wedding song, man. Start throwing elbows. Kids too. Take it easy. Shout out to everybody on True Pundit reading our news. We're probably going to have something pretty juicy on there today based on last night's podcast. Keep an eye out for that. I think it has the potential of taking off. It's just so insane. The story is completely insane. And it's one of those things where you're like, wait a minute, is this real? Yes, it's real. Connecticut and law enforcement related. Basically, the breakdown was if you're an African American and you're a drug dealer, it's hands off right now. Or you're a cartel member, you know, and a high-ranking member of an illicit drug operation. State police have been told not to pursue you. What the hell is that? I'm calling it Black Drug Dealers Matter. Because I'm a smartass with good contacts. So we're able to break that. That's going to be interesting to try to get out there. Put a little heat on the Connecticut State Police and their task force, statewide task force that works with everybody in multiple states, including New York, on narcotics, illicit narcotics operations. That ought to shake them up a little bit. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. So, patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. What's up out there, folks? Watching the video podcast of Pain in the Morning, and we appreciate the support. We do. And keep it coming because we can use it. And I'm on the fence, thinking about launching the Thomas Paine kind of a mini tour of America to check out, see what's going on. The goal would be to break every single ordinance we can when it comes to traveling between states. Social distancing, wearing a mask, and not having any regard for these bureaucrats, and seeing what happens. Just a road trip of troublemakers reporting from the road to you. That's kind of my theme. I want to go out and cause some trouble. And moreover than that, just report to you what's happening. Maybe head down south. See what's going on in Florida. Talk to some people. I don't know. It's in the works. I can't say too much about it. But we're trying to change up gears. Get out there and do some street reporting and find out what's going on. So, where are we at? First, oh boy, this is bad news for Second Amendment. But, you know, these guys, they... We're going to have to go with a little whipping post. They're going to treat these people like a whipping post. The district attorney, Kim Gardner in St. Louis, is going to treat the McCloskeys like a whipping post. Missouri man who guarded home with his rifle reveals that the rumor is he and his wife will be indicted shortly. Remember these guys were guarding their home from the street vagrants, the dirt bags, the dirt balls. Broke down a fence and gates to get into their community. Missouri attorney Mark McCloskey, who along with his wife Patricia brandished legally owned firearms when confronted by Black Lives Matter protesters at their St. Louis home last month, told Tucker Carlson, "The rumor is that we're going to be indicted shortly over the incident." Last week, authorities executed a search warrant at the McCloskey's home in connection with the June 28th incident. And Mark McCloskey said that officers were almost apologetic when they served the warrant. Yeah? Why are you serving the warrant then, you fuck? What are you guys, fucking robots? Don't serve the fucking warrant, you fucking droids. This is what I'm talking about. Yeah, listen to yesterday's podcast or the one we dropped late last night. one of my guests, VM, is on there and talking about this exact same kind of bullshit. It's resonating. VM is way ahead of the curve. He understands, he sees things long before, patterns long before most people. And this is what we talk about. And the preamble to that in episode 32 is what the state police are doing in Connecticut, which is a complete disgrace. You know, so I'm personally sick of this. Oh, we're sorry we're raiding your house and violating your First Amendment rights and Second Amendment rights and civil rights. Oh, yeah, we have a warrant, which is fucking bullshit. Almost apologetic. You guys are... You guys are wing monkeys for communists. The district attorney out there, Gardner, is a communist who was put in place by fucking Soros. Literally, he bankrolled the campaign. It's public record. Guess who hasn't done a damn thing? The attorney general of the state was also apologetic, you know what I mean? A couple days ago. Oh, man, this is bad. Do something about it. You guys dudes go on television and run your yaps. You don't do anything. You're fucking useless. And these cops are in the same category. I'm telling you, you're playing with fire. You're going to come into some dude's house, and he's not going to be as civil as Mr. McCloskey, who's an attorney. This is why you don't push your luck. You don't go poke a stick in a bear's face. And people like Kim Gardner are putting cops in danger. They're putting them in these situations where they have to storm into people's houses and harass them. It's a powder keg. In the June incident, the McCloskey said they were startled shortly before dinner time when 300 to 500 people entered the gated community where they live. I didn't shoot anybody, Mark McCloskey said. I just held my ground protecting my house, and I'm sitting here on television tonight, and instead of dead or putting out the smoldering embers of my house. If you retreated into your house, it probably would be burned to the ground, as you just said, Carlson told McCloskey. But is that how society should function? I mean, shouldn't someone in authority in the state of Missouri be coming to your aid right about now? No. They're going to crucify this Irishman. The way I view it is when you have certain elements of society encouraging violence, at the same time asking the police to stand down, what's the only possible result? McCloskey responded. The only possible solution is for individual citizens to stand up to defend themselves. And I'm afraid that what's being promoted is causing citizens to stand up and defend themselves so they can be chilled and abused the way we have been. Yeah, that last lyric kind of sums it up, doesn't it? McCloskey also criticized the media coverage of his ordeal. The traditional media is right behind the mob. I mean, we're not allowed to use that word anymore. I am. These guys are mobs of gutter snipes, vagrants, varmints, hobos, degenerates. Dirtballs, dickweeds. It runs the gamut. I mean, we're not allowed to use the word mob anymore. A loud crowd of angry people. And they are supporting these entities, which are, from my understanding, Marxist. And oppose everything that I stand for, and I will hold dear and near, he said. Well, it appears the McCloskeys have changed their tune. They came out the next day after this and said, oh, we support you guys out there in the street now. We're with you, man. Yeah, power to the people, man. And, you know, this is a perfect example, and I've said it like five times on this show and on the War Pain show that we do on Tuesday nights for subscribers only on the platforms I mentioned earlier. You don't apologize to these people. and pretend that you're down with the struggle. They don't care. It's a mob. A mob comes to your house to burn it down. They don't care if you're down with the struggle. They don't care. People think that, we're with you. Why would you do that? Because they're mindless idiots with no brains. It's a mob. It's a mob mentality. And they're out there for political reasons. And if you get in their way, you're going to get torched. Your house is going to get torched. You might, like he said, you might even end up dead. You don't know. But they will probably end up being indicted by de facto George Soros, who's running, obviously running St. Louis. And you have an attorney general in that state who has his head up his ass, who goes on Fox News and says, this is really a travesty. We don't know what to do. This district attorney is really bad news. Really? Another idiot who gets to go on television and work his or her Twitter account like the rest of us do. It's like, what the hell are you doing in these places, in these offices? These people are completely insane, by the way. By the way, did you know I'm completely insane? Patrick Bateman. You know what? Let's go to Bateman. I got him queued up here.
Bleaching. Are you trying to say bleaching?
Oh, my God. Two things.
You can't bleach a cheroot.
Out of the question.
Two.
I can only get these sheets in Santa Fe. These are very expensive sheets, and I really need to clean them.
If you don't shut your fucking mouth, I will kill you.
Now, listen. I have a lunch meeting at Hubert's in 20 minutes with Ronald Harrison, and I need those sheets cleaned by this afternoon. Listen, I cannot understand you. This is crazy. You're a fool. I can't cope with this. Stupid bitchy. Understand?
You're crazy. You're a fool. This is how I feel. I'm going like I'm like Bateman. Oh, man. I'm trying to listen to these people. Speaking of crazy fools, let's move on to the next item. There's no shortage, folks. White House advisor rebukes Dr. Fauci in scorching op-ed, wrong about everything. Peter Navarro, director of the Office of Trade and Manufacturing Policy, is not holding back on his view of... I just had a blowout, a voice blowout. Hold on. All right. Peter Navarro, director of the Office of Trade and Manufacturing Policy, is not holding back on his view. Dr. Anthony Fauci's advice amid the coronavirus pandemic. Navarro took a swing at Fauci, saying Dr. Anthony Fauci has a good bedside manner with his public, but he's been wrong about everything I have interacted with him on. In the op-ed piece in USA Today, Navarro claims Fauci opposed him on halting travel from China in late January, something he says had the potential of saving hundreds of thousands of American lives. Navarro said he was working on behalf of President Trump. Navarro said that when he was warning of a possibly dead pandemic, then Fauci was telling the news media not to worry. Again, citing another time he apparently worked on behalf of the president in February to help engineer the fastest industrial mobilization of healthcare sector in our history, according to Navarro. Fauci was suggesting at the time COVID-19 was low risk. Additionally, he took aim at the nation's top infectious disease expert for flip-flopping on the use of masks and for not fully backing hydroxychloroquine as a prevention for coronavirus. Navarro also said Fauci is now suggesting a falling mortality rate doesn't matter. He's referring to when Fauci said on July 7th that it is a false narrative to take comfort in a lower rate of death. I guess Fauci wants more dead people. Somebody book a Fauci and Amtrak ticket to New York City and put him in a long-term care facility if he wants to see some death. Governor Cuomo will help him out. Don't get yourself into a false complacency, Fauci said at the time. Navarro wrapped up his op-ed writing, "So when you ask me whether I listened to Dr. Fauci's advice, my answer is only with skepticism and caution." Let me explain to you guys what's going on here. Why now? Navarro comes out with this. This is all calculated. Nothing comes out of the White House unless it's calculated. This is the cleanup crew. Okay, Navarro is the head janitor here. It's after hours. Nobody's around, and he is mopping the marble the marble floors in D.C., trying to clean up the mess that Fauci, Dr. Birx, and Robert Redfield made. The coronavirus task force in the White House made of an entire nation, not just of a task force, of an entire nation. And that idiot Pence was running it. And this reflects poorly on the White House in an election year. This has gone way out of control. These three idiots, these three fools, these three stooges were given carte blanche, a running point on this CoronaCon, and basically hoodwinked a lot of good people. And I would say the president included. If the president wasn't hoodwinked, then he's in on it. So let's just say he was hoodwinked for argument's sake, just so we can make sure that we keep our sanity coming through the weekend. I'm going to say he was hoodwinked, and I've said that. But time is going to tell, as it always does. This is the cleanup crew. They're trying to mop up a little bit, put some blame on Fauci, marginalize him. Because on the other side of the aisle, he's a rock star because he's done everything the left has wanted him to do to sell this. This is not a pandemic. If we had a functional Department of Justice, guys like Fauci would be under investigation. Actually, Fauci would probably already be in prison. Fauci should already be locked up or have been locked up. Just ask Dr. Judy Mikovits, or refer back to, I think it was our podcast number 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. Bobby Kennedy, Mikovits is in there twice. A lot of stuff on those, dropping a lot of bombs on those podcasts. Yeah, Fauci. So this is the cleanup crew. Navarro is going to try to clean up the mess that literally these guys made. The question from a, you know, and it's no mistake that this dovetails with the demotion of Parth Scales. It's full court press now. Try to distance himself from these people. And this is what you're seeing. Will it work? I don't know. There's a lot of people out of work. A lot of people facing foreclosure. A lot of people facing eviction. Bankruptcy. So if you're listening out there, President Trump, you got to keep the heat on. You got to do more than just distance yourself from these people. You got to throw us a bone out here. Give us something to work with. These people put us in a really bad spot, and they represent the White House. So help us out here. I'm just reflecting the things I hear all day long from other people, and the chorus is growing louder and bigger of folks who are concerned. I mean, my God, just True Pundit alone and myself, we beat the hell out of Fauci for 5 months, the last 5 months. If any of it was wrong, that little ferret would have sued us by now. Nothing would give me more pleasure than to get in the lawsuit with Fauci so I could see his finances. I want to see who's paying this guy. Nobody seems to know. I guess that perhaps the president does, and he doesn't like it. Well, let's see what shakes out here, but this is what you're seeing. This is a mop-up crew trying to gain a little momentum back from what these guys have done. So all of us, this affects all of us. You won't see this stuff being reported on Fox, though. Too busy picking on little people, punching down. Fox should be punching up, but they're punching down. The most critical, I think, crossroads in our country since I've been alive. And major platforms, people with major platforms and major news organizations, conservative, are punching down. We should have taken this guy out professionally, taken him out, Fauci. All they had to do is follow up on the stuff we did and report what we did. They didn't do that. What does that tell you? It tells me as a news consumer and an American, it's freaking disturbing. What did I say freaking? That was weird. I don't know. Self-editing. Speaking of little lies and little people and little men. Headline, Fauci says Americans can trust him amid reports of the White House trying to undermine him. During a virtual event hosted by Georgetown University on Tuesday. See, the thing that it really kills me is how the fuck in a pandemic does this guy have the time to do all this press? Hollywood press, podcasts, interviews, TV news. He thinks he's like a fucking rock star. It's disturbing. It's all about him. That's why he can't be trusted. Doesn't have the public's health in mind. This guy's going to do a movie or a book and ride off into the sunset on the corpses of thousands of Americans. It's insane. Fauci was asked, how do Americans know who to trust in regards to information on the coronavirus outbreak? I believe for the most part you can trust respected medical authorities, he said. Wait a minute. I didn't do my Fauci voice. Maybe that'll help my voice. I believe for the most part you can trust the respected medical authorities. I believe I'm one of them, so I think you can trust me. Fauci said. Who the fuck is ever legitimate who stands up and says, believe in me, I'm a trusted source? What the fuck are you talking about? This guy is crazy. No one who's legitimate stands up on a soapbox, or in his case, a milk crate, and touts to the world that he's the man. I am the man. I can be trusted. I am an authority. Sit down, midget. Somebody give that guy a lantern and put him on a lawn. And some jockey pants. It's insane. Yeah, this is like... What a song for this story coming up. Oh, boy. She does get around, boy. Round, round, get around. I get around. Yeah, get around, round, round. I get around. I get around. Get around, round, round. I get around. Get around, round, round. I get around. Ilhan Omar. Her payments to her husband's firm hit $1 million. In the 2020 cycle. How is this fool not in prison? What is going on over at the Justice Department? Is she baking William Barr muffins or something every day? we do know that Representative Ilhan Omar's muffins get around. Representative Ilhan Omar continues to dish out six-figure payments to her husband's firm, which has now received more than $1 million from her campaign. It's like, I get confused. Is this her husband? The brother? She married her brother? She had a husband, and then she married her brother. She divorced that guy, then married her brother. Then I guess they got divorced, and now she's married again. This chick's the Black Widow. What? Where's the FBI? Did she have to, like, marry her brother to get into the United States? It's some kind of immigration fraud, allegedly. Fucking useless FBI. Useless. Unless they're protecting people like this. Okay. That's the actual mission of the FBI, to protect the rich and famous at your expense and pin your ass to a wall if you have an unpaid parking ticket. Federal Election Commission records released Tuesday afternoon show that Omar's campaign funneled $228,000 last quarter to the E Street Group. Oh man, I hope that's not Bruce. The E Street Group. A D.C.-based consulting firm run by the congresswoman's husband, Tim Minette. The payments, predominantly for digital and fundraising services, bring the total to Omar's campaign has sent to her husband's firm to just over $1 million in this election cycle. This woman's a freshman congresswoman who may be in this country illegally and may have, it is alleged, participated in a scheme, an illegal scheme, to gain citizenship to this country. And now she's doling out millions of dollars to her husband that are donated by you, the taxpayers, through the DNC, PACs, and other avenues. You are funding this woman's illegal cartel, allegedly. We'll throw that out there. I mean, it's insane. And where is the FBI? I mean, even J. Edgar Hoover would show up in his high heels and take a look at this. Where's Christopher Wray? I mean, he might need some high heels too, or something. He might want to borrow Fauci's milk crate or something. But what is happening? I'll tell you what's happening. It's all a charade, like I've said. It's a protection racket. This woman is protected because of her religious standing. They do not want to go after her, even if they could legitimately, because it'll look like persecution. This is how these people think. So she gets a license to go haywire and do what she wants. Just like we reported earlier yesterday on episode 32, that certain folks of a certain race get to basically are licensed to operate as drug dealers and drug cartels because the state police has to be coming from the governor's office. They don't want to make it seem like they're targeting African-American drug dealers. It's insane. You have to listen to the episode. I can't even put it into words. And I probably did a piss poor job of putting it into words in episode 32, but I did the best I could. I'm breaking the news. It doesn't have to be pretty. It just has to be true. Omar, in her first term as congresswoman, has faced scrutiny over numerous financial and personal issues since she was elected in 2018. My God, this woman is a nightmare. She has drawn criticism for a lack of transparency about her previous marriages. Her lack of transparency? She married her brother. I got to see who wrote this. Who wrote this? Geraldo? She's been criticized over campaign finance violations. That's no big deal. What's the FEC going to do? Give me a break. They all do this. It's a piggy bank. And for potential violation of House ethics rules pertaining to the cash advance she received on a recently published memoir. What's her memoir? How I grifted my way into the United States and milked the taxpayers every day for my salary. And it's pretty good if you think about it. You marry like 26 people before you get here. One of them's your brother. You get here, you get divorced from your 19th through 25th husband. You get your 26th husband when you're here, who just happens to be able to do campaign work. And you're making 100 and what? I don't know. I don't know what they make. $127,000, $130,000, $160,000, a congresswoman. So how can somebody survive in the Beltway on $160,000 salary? It's ludicrous. Oh, you marry a guy and you funnel millions of dollars to him. Cha-ching! Now you're not making $150,000 anymore. Now you're making millions. And Barr is feeding his fat fucking face with cupcakes. And you tell me, trust Barr. To do what? Yeah. The only place that I trust Barr would be at a barbecue. If whatever was left over, he would take care of. Omar has routinely dismissed the inquiries and scrutiny as smears and conspiracy theories. Yeah, right. She knows she's untouchable because of her standing, her religious stand. She's a female and she's a Muslim. Forget it. Nobody has any guts in the DOJ to go after that. Ray is too busy looking for white supremacists, white nationalists. And when he can't find some, he makes them. He sets people up. They were running a plot. Yeah, right. They were talking to the FBI. Another FBI entrapment plot. It's crazy. It's one layer of corruption we talk about. Every story, I go off in these tangents because they're all laced with corruption when you can peel back the curtain and look behind them. And you need like 30, 40, 50 years in the business to be able to do this. So that's why I stop in the middle and I'm choppy. People are like, well, I just wish you would read the whole story and then break it down. Good. Great. Go back to community college where they do that, or high school. This is the real world. Point by point. Plus, by the time I get to the end of this article, I wouldn't remember half the points I wanted to make. So cut me some slack, Jack. Oh boy, he's back. He's back. We're going back to the dark side. Back to the dark side. I might need more water here. Struggling a little bit. Where are we at? 42 minutes? Governor Cuomo, the dark side. Little John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is once again trying to shift blame for thousands of deaths in state nursing homes, a move that is drawing fierce criticism from the scientific community. In related news, also drawing fierce criticism from the scientific community is the fact that Cuomo looks like a baked turkey. Like he's slathered himself in butter and been baking on a rooftop. He's got this dark brown tan. I guess maybe he thinks he's Don Corleone now. Like he's checking on the grapes in Sicily or something. I don't know. This guy. He looks like a turkey that's been in the oven for 7 hours on Thanksgiving. He looks ridiculous. I thought you were supposed to stay in, Governor. He's telling everybody else to stay in. He's out getting covered in butter. The guy looks ridiculous. Maybe he's going to run for president. No. He's getting his image up for his headshot, for his campaign posters. I wouldn't put anything past these people because I keep reading Cuomo, 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 Cuomo. It's like they're intentionally inflating this guy. Again, a guy who should be under indictment for manslaughter. Killed probably 10,000 seniors, roughly, somewhere in that neighborhood. Well, what the hell's a couple hundred? Difference a couple hundred when you're on a nice murder rampage like that. Wow. But Barr is out to lunch. The fixer, the deep state fixer, is out to lunch, riding out the clock. He's about due for another interview on Fox where he talks about how the FBI was out of control and then does nothing about it. He's about ready for another one of those to keep all the dummies entertained and misdirected. On March 25th, 2020, the Democratic Governor Cuomo enacted a statewide directive that forced nursing homes to take recovering COVID-19 patients, regardless of whether they were contagious or not. This guy should be under investigation. Do you understand that? Before the order was rescinded on May 10th. Jesus, that's March 25th, April 25th. That's 6 weeks. Thousands of infected patients were sent into nursing homes. More than 4,500 recovering coronavirus patients were sent to New York's already vulnerable nursing homes under a controversial state directive. The number was even higher, according to a later account by the Associated Press, which reported on Tuesday that states, New York, its own count, shows the order ushered more than 6,300 recovering virus patients into nursing homes at the height of the pandemic. But a new state report now claims that nursing home coronavirus deaths were not caused by Cuomo's policies. All right. You know who did the new report? Cuomo's administration. They investigated themselves. Oh, no wonder nothing was found to be improper. You know why he's brown like a turkey? Because he's running a kangaroo court. He's also brown like a kangaroo. I haven't seen too many kangaroos with their nipples pierced, I'm just saying. And I've been to some strange places anyway. The report says that the deaths were mostly caused by infected staff members who spread the virus. Oh, yeah, that's what it was. It wasn't 7,000 people, infected people, that you cut loose on the biggest target, the biggest at-risk community, seniors. It wasn't them. It was a couple people who had a cold, killed 10,000 people. Get the fuck out of here. Take that shit. Sell it somewhere else. The report said, see, this doesn't say. It doesn't say where the report's from. See, this is why you got to be careful. This isn't the Daily Wire. You got to be careful. The report came from Cuomo, his own investigation. Isn't that nice? You get to investigate yourself. He's like running his own little Department of Justice there. They get to investigate themselves. I'm not even going to read the bullshit. The 33-page report. You always see 33 popping up. That's a big Masonic number. 33-page report. Get the fuck out of here with that, too. I'll believe it if I read it maybe in a medical journal and it's peer-reviewed, that kind of thing. This is insane. They investigate themselves, and I'm sure the investigation was tainted and bullshit just like they are, and then they release it. Dennis Nash, an epidemiologist at the City University of New York School of Public Health, said there were big problems with the report. He told the AP that the number of nursing home deaths and records kept by the state doesn't include residents who were transferred to and later died at a hospital. Nash said that it's potentially a huge problem that undercounts the virus toll and could introduce bias into the analysis. You know what else could introduce bias into the analysis? When a murderer conducts his own investigation, that can tend to introduce bias into any analysis. This is like watching Dexter. Maybe we'll just start calling Cuomo Dexter, Governor Dexter. I kind of like that. Oh, man. This guy is, I think he's late. I saw him later in the, maybe one later in the report, he was like painting or something. He's been painting, literally like oil paint. I don't know. We'll get to it. We're making some headway here, but we got to motor through this word. 50 minutes already. Members of Black community call on the NYPD to bring back anti-crime unit amid crime surge. We need to reevaluate. Well, they weren't defending the NYPD when people were calling to defund the police. Where were these Black community leaders? I guess they're waiting to get paid by Black Lives Matter, right? That's how it works. In the hood, I grew up in the hood. I understand the idiosyncrasies of the hood. Sad. Nothing really has changed. Well, there's a lot more money involved now in race pimping. I'm just going to skip this. I don't see it. I mean, the time to lobby the NYPD is the time with NYPD brass by community leaders is the time that they rolled this out, that they were going to get rid of the street crime unit or the plain clothes unit. And since then, shootings have skyrocketed. Not going to change now. You know why? Because de Blasio's calling the shots. Members of Black community, the Black community leaders are calling on the NYPD. It all comes from de Blasio. You're wasting your time with NYPD. Go talk to the communist de Blasio. That seems more like for the leaders. I've seen it happen through the years so many times. You know, we're gonna try to press the NYPD to get street crime unit back. Oh, okay. And then they go and they go through the motions for their so-called constituents in these neighborhoods, which I grew up in, and nothing happens because nothing's supposed to happen. It's all a show. If you were serious about doing that, you would be having meetings with de Blasio and calling out the mayor. NYPD's just lockstep and barrel following what de Blasio says. And de Blasio, the queen, I call him the queen of New York City, not the mayor. He's following what the king says, King Cuomo, the king and queen. We talked about at the beginning of the show, the Walmart is requiring all customers to wear masks. Somebody give me shelter from these places. Following in the footsteps of Costco, Best Buy, Walmart, the world's largest retailer, became the largest national chain to require all customers to wear masks. You guys remember back before Walmart, they were like mom and pop shops? Regular people, not this fucking conglomerate of hillbillies from Arkansas that have gone spun way out of control. What happened? They put all these people out of business and people applauded because they could get cheap stuff, you greedy fucks out there trying to save a fucking nickel on something or 50 cents. Now look at you. Now they got you by the balls. If you buy your groceries at this rat hole, you can't even go in without a mask. I went into my mechanics today. He told me to take my mask off. I said, I don't have one on. He had his back toward me. He recognized the voice. I was talking to his wife. He said, you better take that mask off. I said, I'm not wearing a mask. Right? If there was a Walmart equivalent of, and there are, they're not as successful, obviously, of auto mechanics, that guy wouldn't even be in business. Walmarts, the Amazons, you guys love cheap shit. And this is what happens. It's doubtful that those people that we lost will ever come back, those merchants. But now these people get to dictate to you, basically just make up their own laws. And if you're stupid enough to actually follow it, then I feel sorry for you. That's not me, though. The crowd's going one way, the mob's going one way, I'm going the other. Served me very well through my entire life. I am not a sheep. I will never be a sheep, and I suggest other folks out there listening to perhaps adopting that as a mantra. Walmart, about 65% of its more than 5,000 stores, including its Sam Club's location, are located in areas where there is a government mandate on face coverings. Everybody else is going is gonna be wearing it whether they like it or not. Give me shelter from these fucking conglomerate commies. You're buying and you're underwriting communist China. You understand that when you're Walmart, right? Buying their cheap shit. I mean, look, it's a tough problem because there's so much stuff made in China, right? I just told people recently, I vote with my wallet now. You treat me like a piece of meat, I don't buy anything from you. You dance on my civil liberties like MC fucking Hammer, you don't get my money. Fuck you. Fuck you. Most major retailers and grocers initially hesitated to enact their own mask mandates for customers during the pandemic, partly over fears of antagonizing shoppers who refused to wear them. They've also been reluctant to put their employees in a position of enforcing mask requirements. Guys, this is the government faction saying, oh, if we get these major retailers in line, it'll just become commonplace. People will just accept it. They'll just surrender. Fuck that. I'm not sure. If we get a picture of the president wearing a mask, all of his supporters say, oh, okay, he's wearing a mask. Well, I guess I'll wear a mask. Fuck that. I'm not wearing a mask. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. If I had to litigate it, I think I'd be successful. You just can't wave a fucking wand and make up laws because you feel like it. That's why we stuck pitchforks in the fucking necks of the English in the 1700s for the same bullshit. For much less taxes, by the way. Just thought I'd throw that in there. And dovetailing with that, the next story dovetails with that. I don't care if we go along today because we're cutting through this. I'm having fun. I'm breaking down some of these stories. It's fun. We're not going to take it by the who. Now, this is what I'm talking about. You got the Walmart story, and then this is a good contrast. They set this up good tonight. I'm going to have to buy these guys a sarsaparilla. If we hit the road, the tequila is going to be flowing. Michigan sheriffs refuse to enforce Gretchen Crazy Eye Whitmer's mask mandate. This also plays into this story right here. Listen to episode 32, what VM is saying at the end of it. He talks about sheriffs, and they are the filter between insanity that these people are perpetuating. Like the governor of Michigan, her attack dogs are the state police, but the sheriffs can serve as a buffer between the people and the state police. In other words, in many states, in Pennsylvania, forget about the sheriffs, are fucking useless. In many states, the sheriffs will refuse to promote illegal edicts and challenge the state police. They have that authority. This is what he's talking about. You got to listen to that. It's really extraordinary insight. It's funny because I talked to him 2 days ago, and this stuff is breaking now, so it's timely, obviously. And with the story we had in Connecticut, forget about it. Governor Gretchen Crazy Eyes Whitmer issued an executive order on Friday stating businesses must deny service to patrons not wearing a mask, and now a number of sheriffs are refusing to enforce the edict. Yeah, see, they use the word edict. Here's the deal. This bitch and all the other bitches, male or female, who are running states, who are doing this, it's not fucking constitutional. It's not. You can't just sit at your desk. And even Trump is talking about, oh, we're going to do this law. We're going to do this. Guy gets fined 10 years in prison for tearing down a statue. You can't just fucking do an executive order and create that. You can't bypass all the branches of the government to create edicts and laws. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. I'm sorry to break everybody's bubble. I'm just pointing it out. These are your rights I'm talking about. So I'm defending your rights, your civil rights. You just can't sit up on a fucking throne and decide what's right and what's wrong. That is not how our government is established. But these fucking communists have gone fucking haywire. And the police are backing them. It's crazy. So it's refreshing to see this story. And as the WHO says, we're not going to take it. I'm not going to take it. I'm out here throwing fucking haymakers every day at these people, trying to reach as many people as I can. And guess what? It's working. They try to keep me down. Wrong. People are listening. Van Buren County Sheriff Dan Abbott says his department won't be enforcing Governor Whitmer's new mask mandate. The executive order, which states businesses must deny service to patrons who aren't wearing a mask, comes with a $500 misdemeanor. Abbott told Fox 17 he believes the order is very bland and that it would be very hard to enforce. He said his department, oh yeah, tell that to the Michigan State Police, who muscled a 77-year-old barber for months. Great job out there, state police. Great job. That's what you signed up for? To harass a 77-year-old guy who was trying to fucking cut hair to put some money in his pocket? You dopes. Look at yourself in the mirror. You should be fucking ashamed of yourself. And when the public support withers away for law enforcement, don't fucking come crying the blues. We don't want to hear that bullshit. You treat people like that. Fuck off. I told you I got a couple more gears. That's like gear, that's maybe fourth or fifth gear. I got about seven. We can go. A couple more gears. You don't want to see those gears. The sheriff said his department will respond if a business complains, but that the individual will need to be prosecuted by the Michigan State Police or the Attorney General's office. Well, you can fucking guarantee that those communists will do it. The Michigan Attorney General is a psychopath, bird brain broad. Aransas County Sheriff told residents to tattle directly to Whitmer's office about neighbors not wearing masks. That's a slight, right? He's saying, go talk to the governor. We're busy. Don't bother us with this penny-any bullshit. Gratiot County Sheriff Michael Morris said his department would not be ticketing alleged violators. Sandusky Police Department, located in Sanilac County, said it too would not be enforcing the edict. For local law enforcement, this has become a very confusing issue as to what's enforceable and to what's not enforceable, the agency said in a statement, ABC 12. That's because you take a vow to uphold the laws of the state. These aren't laws. This is some weird broad, okay, who looks like Glenn Close, who just cooked a bunny in a pot. This is her idea of law and order. Doesn't make it law and order. It just doesn't. Where are we at here? Oh, boy. Yeah, this is a good song. A little Bill Withers. Use Me. This should be the tax theme. Where are we at? An hour and 4 minutes? Yeah, I don't care. We'll roll. Smithsonian African American History Museum defines whiteness. And what hard work is. Isn't it nice to know that our tax funds, which go to underwriting places like the Smithsonian, and then we get barked at and lectured, talked down to? It's the National Museum of African American History and Culture that you pay for and I pay for. Talking about using me. Yeah. That's pretty much the theme of the country now. Federal government. This should be the federal government's fucking theme song. National Museum of African American History. Now includes a webpage about whiteness in America that defines it to include individualism, science, and hard work. Oh, thank you. I never knew what whiteness meant. In my house, whiteness means, some of your clothes came out better than some of your other clothes. These need to be washed again. They're not white enough, these shirts. It offers definitions and educational materials for explaining systemic racism. Thank God that our tax dollars are going to this. One guide drawn from data on a chart created in 1990 advises the features of whiteness, which include rugged individualism. Oh, thank you. Yeah, if I do say so myself. The nuclear family, an emphasis on scientific method, and the belief that hard work is the key to success. Isn't that what most Americans think, regardless of your race? Why do they have to? These people are sad. They put people in their individual little corrals and they push them around like chess pieces. These fucking academics, they're bird brains. According to the chart, other aspects and assumptions of white culture in the United States include competition. I'm going to go through this. I don't care how long it takes because it's interesting to me. And these people are actually taking our tax money and fucking doing this. Okay, what it's like to be white. This is what we're all about. Competition. To be number one. I'm just going to say whitey. That makes it more interesting. Whitey wants to be number one. Whitey wants to win at all costs. Whitey is action oriented. Whitey must master and control nature. Whitey must always, quote, do something, unquote, about a situation. Whitey must be aggressive and an extrovert. Whitey is about decision making. Whitey is about majority rules when whites have power. Can you fucking believe this? You're paying for this. This is fucking racist hatred bullshit. That's not what I'm about. Sure, I like to get things done. Doesn't even say anything in there about procrastinating on yard lists. So you know it's bullshit. Whitey around here likes to take the honey-do lists and stuff them in a corner or set them on fire in the backyard and say he lost them. Doesn't even say anything about that. Oh, boy. Now they're breaking down. Protestant work ethic. Hard work is the key to success. Work before play. If you didn't meet your goals, you didn't work hard enough. Thank you for telling us about Protestants and the family structure for Whitey. Whitey likes the nuclear family. A father, a mother, 2.3 children is the ideal social unit. I feel bad for that 0.3 child. What happens to that kid? And how tall would that kid actually be if he's 0.3? Would he be like a foot and a half? Maybe 2 feet? That's a tough way to grow up if you're the 0.3 kid. Whitey's, in the Whitey family, the husband is the breadwinner and head of the household. In the Whitey family, the wife is the homemaker and subordinate to the husband. Really? Where do I sign up for that? In the Whitey family, children should have their own rooms and be independent. This is insane. It advises concerned citizens. Whiteness operates in a covert and overt ways that affect all of us. What? It can appear as practices within an institution or accepted social norms. As a remedy, it advises the public to combat these aspects of whiteness. The museum's annual budget includes roughly $33 million from U.S. taxpayers to promote this drivel and this hatred. Tell me again how I'm racist. Read this shit. This shit should be the fucking manifesto for racism. Can you imagine? This isn't some crackpot in some think tank who's been cooking meth in his basement for 3 years. This is the Smithsonian. $33 million that you're underwriting. Fuck you, Smithsonian. I don't want to see your shitty museums either. You know who else has wings at the Smithsonian? You can't even imagine this. The Sackler family. Purdue Pharma. Purdue Frederick. The family that created OxyContin and basically ruined thousands, hundreds of thousands of lives, I think, between the victims, the ODs, the family. They have wings at the Smithsonian that were bought and paid for with drug money, blood money. So fuck you, Smithsonian, you communist fucking whorehouse. These guys, the Smithsonian, all the benefactors, in addition to the tax money, they take money from the Sackler Foundation and places like this. They're just communists and Marxists that hate America and have made their money hating America. And then the Sackler situation, killing Americans and people all over the world. I have to go to the videotape on this next one. What music do we have? I think this is the last one. We've been going for a while. I've always been crazy. We're going to talk about Cuomo again. I think Cuomo painted this picture. Like he took up painting. Andrew Cuomo's coronavirus poster. In the wake of a crisis, New York has not come out on top. Have you seen Andrew Cuomo's poster? The New York governor's pandemic-themed design was apparently intended as a celebration of the state's effort against coronavirus. Difficult to describe, but there's a mountain in the middle labeled 111 days of hell. a rope around it labeled pulling down the curve together, a river marked with dollar signs and labeled economy falls, a plane captioned Europeans, and a wind blowing devil titled Winds of Fear. I think this is just the Cuomo family crest. I think he painted this himself. Is this what he was doing instead of managing the virus? Look at this. I'm going to put it on the video. This is insane. This guy is... If he's not medicated, he needs to be medicated. Look at this fucking nightmare. Let's go take a look at it. New York tough, smart, united, disciplined, loving. Wake up, America. Forget the politics. Get smart. Did he make this? This is a disgrace. This is what he's been doing? Oh my God, what a nightmare. Total nightmare, by the way. You have to look for this online, or maybe we'll post it in patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit, where if you're watching the video casts on those platforms, you get to see this nightmare. This is scary. I think he has his hot rod in there too. This looks like a bad acid trip. I wonder, Waylon says, I've always been crazy. Holy shit. I can't, I'm speechless. They throw this stuff in here at the end to send me over the edge. It's so good. You can't even make it up. The guy is literally... He's killing people. Now he's painting. It says mask up on the top of the mountain. It doesn't say that the picture of the mountain is actually... It's built on the body of 10,000 seniors Cuomo and his buddies killed. I don't even know. So we've gone long enough. We've got a long time tonight. Extra long, extra long, extra long. I mentioned patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. If you want to benefit us directly, those are the best ways to do it. We do appreciate it. And I know I've said it enough times. We do appreciate it. And also, we'll talk about that later. We'll have a good show for you Friday as well. A couple surprises. Check out episode 32. It's crazy. It's crazy and informative too, with coronavirus and our guest Marie Albanese and VM, and it's definitely worth your time. I think it is. And I've already gotten some positive feedback on it. It's only been up a couple hours. So we'll see you again, and I hope you got something out of this, and we will keep the light on for you. As I say at the end of every show, take care. God bless.
Son. Well, now me and Homer Jones and Big John Talley had a big crap game going back in the alley. And I kept rolling them seven and winning all them pots. Good, I could do no wrong. I just kept on rolling and controlling them bone. Finally, they just threw up their hand and said, when you hot, you hot. I said, yeah.
When you're hot, you're hot. And when you're not, you're not.
Put all the money in and let it roll again.
When you're hot, you're hot. La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. When you're hot, you're hot.
Well, now every time I roll them dice, I'd win. Just getting ready to roll them again when I heard something behind me. I turned around and there was a big old cop. He said, hello, boy. Then he gave us a grin and said, look like I'm gonna have to haul y'all in and keep all that money for evidence. I said, well, son, when you hot, you hot.
He said, yeah, when you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not.
You can explain it all down at City Hall. I said, yeah,
when you're hot, hot,
you're hot.
In
the court, I couldn't believe my eyes. The judge
judge was a fishing buddy that I recognized. I said, hey, judge, old buddy, old pal, I'll pay you that $100 if you get me out of this spot. So he gave my friends a little fine to pay. He turned around and grinned at me and said, 90 days, Jerry, when you hot.